All right, Rabbi, so yesterday we saw the Gemara at the bottom of Chesma Beis, at the two dots, where the Gemara told us, we discussed the following scenario. Where are we? Oh, not the two dots. Amar Rabbi, Reuven Shemach HaSadah L'Shimon Bach Rayas. V'yos about Chayv the Reuven V'taref Mishimon. Okay, so what happened?
The Reuven, who had fields, sold them to Shimon. Not so complicated. Okay? Now, the Bal Chayv is coming to collect from Shimon. Reuven has no liquid assets, yeah? But Reuven wants to be involved in the Din Torah. We're going to have to explain why. Or is he involved in the Din Torah? So the Gemara says, Reuven is still a party to this Din Torah. And the Bal Chayv cannot say to Reuven, La bal dvarim didiyat, he cannot say to Reuven, you have nothing to do with this anymore, it's just a relation between me and Shimon. He can't say that. Why not? He's really ostensibly out of the picture. There's nothing to offer here. Shimon is the one with the properties. Reuven has nothing to pay back the debt with. So why is Reuven even still a party to this discussion? So the Gemara says either one of two reasons. Either because of Achrayus. In other words, that he's going to be responsible to pay back Shimon. Shimon's going to come to him at some point later on and say, I want my money back. That's one possibility. But the other possibility is, because Shimon bought these properties from Reuven, he's going to have now a taina. So even though the Bal Chayv is going to come from Shimon, Shimon's going to go back to Reuven. The other possibility is because of Tarumos. Even if he has no Achrayus, which I don't know why he would buy properties without a price, maybe he died with high risk, high reward. So he figured Reuven would never get collected from. But either way, Shimon could go back to Reuven with Tarumos. He's going to ruin the relationship. So Tosfos now asks, what difference does it make that Reuven is still a party to this discussion? Even if Reuven would not be a party to this discussion, how would that change anything? How would the Bal Chayv benefit by saying to Reuven, La bal dvarim didiyat? Or why would you want me? What difference does it make? What practical difference is it that Reuven is still a party to the Bal Chayv, and he cannot say La bal dvarim didiyat? What difference does it make? So let's just see the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Reuven Shemach Hasadah L'Shimon Bach Rayas. If you also Bal Chayv, the Reuven Vitarf Mi Shimon, the Bal Chayv is coming to collect from Shimon. Dino who does the Reuven Mishtoy Dino Bade. Reuven can be involved in the entire. V'lo Motzi Yomalei La Bal Dvarim Didiyah. Cannot say you're not a part of this discussion. Ade Amrilei Imav Kis Minei Alai Didiyahder. Why? Because if you take the properties from him, he's going to come back to me. Achrayas." I don't want Shimon to have tainas on me. So Frek Taisus over here, the Maskol Dina, let's read it again. Vim Taimar, my nafkamina, hakol mashayachal Reuven, leton taninongay l'shimon. Whatever taina he could have advanced, we're going to offer on behalf of Shimon. The taninongay l'lokeach v'chein l'yisomim, bein parua, bein mezuyof. We're going to argue on behalf of the Lokeach here, or if it would be a similar circumstance with regards to Yisomim, that you're coming to collect the debt of their parents, we're going to advance whatever claim we can on their behalf. Bein Parua, either we'll argue on their behalf that the loan has been paid, meaning we'll say to the, one of the litigants, we'll say, how do we know that, the plaintiff, how do we know that your claim hasn't been paid, even though he hasn't made such an argument? Bein Mesuyah, for how do we know that your document hasn't been forged? V'tzricha eidei kiyum, he's going to have to be mekayem, whatever document he presents. What does kiyum mean? Kiyum means that he's going to have to bring the witnesses forward who will testify that they signed such a document. If the witnesses are no longer here, he can't be mekayem mishtar, but we'll have to bring forward witnesses. Maybe we'll bring forward witnesses that this is their signature, but you have to bring forward witnesses that they signed such a star. If you're not going to advance these tainas on behalf of Shimon, so then people are just going to bring out the shtaris indiscriminately, and we'll have no way of stopping the flow of false claims. Person's on his deathbed. He says, I owe a certain amount of money to somebody else. If he says, go and give it, then we give. If he doesn't say to his descendants, to his children, go and pay, and even though he said he owes the money, the other party has a shtar, so if he says go and give it, that itself
validates the shtar. Lo amar tenu, if he didn't say go and give it, lo kaim el shtar, that then he has not validated the shtar. Mash with the talinu who you say, I mean, mezuyof. Why do we have to validate the shtar? Must be because we argue on their behalf, mezuyof. Okay, so we see we're going to advance whatever claim Reuven could advance. We're going to advance it on behalf of Shimon. So we're going to say things on behalf of Shimon. What are we going to say on behalf of Shimon? We're going to say parua, or we'll say mezuyof. So what do I need? Even though he doesn't, how would he know that it was paid? How would he know if it was forged? He wasn't there when the original shtar was signed. Nonetheless, we're going to say it on his behalf. It's not tanina. We'll advance those claims on his behalf. Even though Reuven is the only one who could have known it, we're going to say it on behalf of Shimon. So what difference does it make that Reuven is a party to this discussion still? Because he might get bitten, in the end with Achrayos or with Tarumos. He's not going to make any substantive difference. So then Tarsus continues, V'chein ein lomar, d'nafkamina she'edav shabalchov krovim l'ruven v'rechokim l'shimen. No. Maybe what it means is, if you introduce another party over here, so now, instead of having one family who's possibly edos, we have two families that are possibly edos. What if the balchovs, edim, are Ruven's brother, brother-in-law or something? So they're not related to Shimon. So if Reuven would not be a party to the discussion, so his krovim should not matter. Why should they be psulim le'edos? But now that Reuven is a party to the discussion, his krovim are now going to be psulim le'edos. Maybe that's the difference that it makes. V'chein ein lomar, says Tosfos, though, don't say that. V'chein ein lomar, d'nafka mina she'edav shabachov krovim le'Reuven, v'rechokim le'Shimon, d'alos Shimon nami ein yecholim le'hoed. They can't even give, even if Reuven would not be a party here, they couldn't give testimony. Because in the end of the day, they're going to come back to be related in this discussion in the second part. Because if the Balchov takes it from Shimon, Shimon's going to go back to Reuven. So even though they're not related to the discussion in the first stage of collection, they're related to the second stage, that Shimon's going to go back to Reuven. So let's say Shimon will have Edim that prove his case. If Shimon has Edim, then it will help him, but they're related to Reuven, Kevin the Yesh lo Revach l'Shimon, Shemami the Karka b'yodo, since Reuven has benefit by the fact that the property remained in the hands of Shimon, they're pasul l'hoyed for either one. Kidemuchach sof perakama de makos, gabi iloh v'tuvya krovim, these are just names of random individuals, Pliny Almighty, but Elah and Tuvia, I don't know why the Gemara chose those two names, but okay. Elah and Tuvia were krovim de Arev. What's an Arev? Chaver is a guarantor. What is a guarantor's role if the Balchov, if the person who borrowed the money can't pay, you're going to go to the Arev. So what if you have witnesses who are krovim to the Arev and not krovim to the litigants themselves? So havi pasalahu, afil l'gabi loivu malva, even with regards to the borrower and the lender, they're puzzled because they do have some, conflict of interest here, as we would call it in modern day terminology. And what's that? They're related to the guarantor. And the guarantor, even though he's not one of the litigants, there's a conflict of interest. So, mishum dechiles le'lova azu malva basar arva. If the lova doesn't have money, the borrower, the lender is going to go to the Arev imkein ma'inaf gemina. Okay, we're back to the discussion. Who cares that Reuven here is a party to what's going on? So Tosfos continues. Yeah.
If you take one step back, why wouldn't we say that we could whole case where they're related? Why this test was not like that answer again?
What are you going to say?
It makes a difference that Reuven is still the litigant. He's the prop. Meaning, who is the case? If we were American legal, we were in the docket. Is it Balchov v. Shimon or is it Balchov v. Reuven? So, I don't know which goes first, the plaintiff or the defendant, probably the plaintiff. So it's Balchov v. Reuven, right? So that's what the Gemara says, it's Balchov v. Reuven. We're asking, who cares? Even if it's Balchov v. Shimon, Reuven, anybody who's a relative of Reuven, let's say, who's a brother of Reuven? Levi. Levi's Reuven's brother. Levi is possibly Edos. So Tosfos says, even if Reuven would not be the litigant here, who would be the litigant? Shimon. Levi would still be possibly Edos. Why would Levi be possibly Edos? Okay. Because Shimon, if he gets collected from him, he's going to go back to Reuven, and Reuven stands to lose. So Levi does have a conflict of interest here, without a doubt. Yeah? That's what Tosfos says. Why? Because he's going to come back with Achrayos, or he's going to come back with Tarumos. And neither one, Reuven, would like. So Levi has a conflict of interest here. So Tosfos says, you can't tell me that it's because Reuven is a litigant. And that's why, and that has a ramification with regards to his edus, because even if he wouldn't be the litigant, it would have a ramification with regards to his edus. And Tosfos says, by the way, now that we said that Reuven is the litigant, it's Balchovi Reuven, the Krovim of Shimon are also possibly edus. Who's the Krov of Shimon? I'd say God. God is also possibly edus. Even though, who's the primary litigant here now? The Gemara said Reuven is the primary litigant. It's Balchovi Reuven. Because that's what the Gemara said. He can't say God both Varm Didiyat. Still, the Krovim of Shimon are possibly edus. Again, because they're related to the discussion. The Tosfos said it's no different than an Arev. And the Krovim of the Arev are possible. If you would go to Reuven to collect and he doesn't have it, you're going to go to Shimon to collect from him, from the properties that Reuven sold. So that's like an Arev, and the Krovim of the Arev are also possibly edus. So God would be possible either way. Even now the Reuven is the primary litigant. The Krovim of Shimon are possible. What you see from this Tosfos though is something important that we need to recognize. And that is that there's two concepts going on here, which we shouldn't confuse the two. And that is, who's the Baal Din and who's the Baal Davar? Whenever someone has nothing to do with something, you say, Ein lo din v'dvarim. He has no din or dvarim. Mishnah Masechtas Ksubos, the wife says, Ein li din v'dvarim v'nechsayach. I don't want to have anything to do with your properties or accounts. So there's two separate things. There's din v'dvarim. What's a Baal Din? Baal Din is the litigant. What's a Baal Davar? A Baal Davar is someone who's an affected party, but not the litigant. That's the difference between a Baal Din and a Baal Davar. Rabbinic terminology, but that's the difference. So, the technical terms. So, who's the Baal Din here? This is Baal Chov v. Reuven. Reuven is the Baal Din. That's what the Gemara says. He can't say, La Baal Dvarim Didiyat. You're not involved in the matter. You are involved in the matter. Reuven is the Baal Din. The litigants are Reuven and the Baal Chov. Shimon, Tosfos says, is a Baal Davar. He's an affected party, like the Arev, like the guarantor. If Reuven doesn't have, you're going to go to Shimon. And Tosfos here establishes an important rule, which is, we're going to see is well-grounded, that the Krovim of a Baal Davar are also possibly edus. Not only are the Krovim of the Baal Din possibly edus, the litigant, but in halachic legal ethics, we would also have the principle of a conflict of interest. So the Baal Davar, even though he's not the litigant himself, but he stands to be affected by this Din Torah, so he is possibly edus, certainly, and also his Krovim are possibly edus. Even the Krovim of the Baal Davar, even though he's not the Baal Din, he's not the formal litigant, also possibly edus. How does Tosfos know that that's the case? So he proved it from the case of the Arev, but the truth of the matter is, it goes even further than that. The Arev, of course, is not the litigant, but his Krovim are psulim, because he stands to be affected by this Din Torah. If the party doesn't have, he's going to come collect from him. But it really goes all the way back to the source of Krovim psulim liedus, which is found in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Look over here, Chav Zayin Mabez. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah there, which discusses which Krovim are possibly liedus, which relatives are no good for testimony. So Gemara says, how do we know that Krovim are possibly edus? Mino ani mili de Tana Rabbanan lo yumsu avos albanim. Pasuk says that children, parents, should not be killed for the sins of their children. Ma Talmud lomar, what is that coming to teach me? Im lalamich lo yumsu avos ba'avon banim ubanim ba'avon avos. We shouldn't condemn one person because of the sins of somebody else, even if it's a parent-child relationship. We already knew that from the pasuk that each man dies for his own sins. We're each responsible for our own actions. Parents and children, no different. So Ella, just like I'm not responsible. Oh, yes, of course. We bear some measure of responsibility, but I'm not going to be punished formally for the actions of somebody else. So how? What then does the pasuk mean? What's the chiddush? Lo yumsu avos albanim. Ella lo yumsu avos albanim be'edus banim. A child cannot give testimony against his parent in court. Ubanim woyumsu al avos be'edus avos. Okay, we see a source from here, for the krovim or possibly edus from a father and a son. But this is discussing what kind of din Torah, what kind of litigation are we talking about here? Capital punishment. Capital punishment. It's not even litigation.
It's capital punishment. One should not die for the other, based on the testimony of the other. In capital cases, are there ba'alei din or no ba'alei din? Is there such a concept as a ba'al din? Am I ever in charge when it comes, you know, is the defendant in charge of his own case when it comes to capital punishments? So it seems that he's not. It seems that he's not. Why? Because whenever I'm in charge of my own defense, I have the ability to admit guilt. We say, hodos ba'al din kimeya edim dami. If the litigant admits to the claim, even if there's no evidence to support it, he can obligate himself to pay. If someone comes to me and says, you owe me $1,000. I said, I don't owe you $1,000, I owe $100,000. Guess what? Obligated to pay based on your admission. The guy says, I have no evidence of that. Never even made such a claim. Hodos baldin kameya edim dami. It's a rule the Gemara has in numerous places. What about in a capital case? They come to the guy and say, you murdered such and such. Not only did I murder him, I murdered the whole town. Death penalty. Suicide by, you know, admission. Can you have such a thing? So the Rambam writes over here, Parakut Chasavil Chasanhedrin Lachavav, Gzeris HaKosov, He She'ein Mamisin Bezdin V'lo Malkanes Ha'adim Ba'odos Piv LLP Shnai Meidim. There's no such thing as suicide by admission in court. You are not believed with regards to your own guilt as it relates to capital punishments. Because the Pasuk says, Al pi shnayim edim, not al pi hodos piv. Based on two witnesses, not based on your own admission. However, the Radvaz writes in that Rambam, a very important comment. Ve'efshar, he says, let's say sksas tam. Of course, this is Xeris HaKosov, al pi shnayim edim, not based on your own admission. But he says, this has a moral implications. And he says, Lefisha ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, ela kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a popular notion in our times, but a person does not own his body. Just because it's your body, that does not entitle you the right to make certain choices. Our body does not belong to us. Has nothing to do with whether abortion is mutter or aser. One has nothing to do with each other. But the implication of certain people's arguments in that discussion, that because it's my body, I have the right to do whatever I want with it, even if it would be part of her body, that's not true. That we reject that argument. Because, ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, your body does not belong to you, it's on loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar hanefashos lihena. Hilkach, lo toil hoda'asa bedavar she'eno shelo. Your admission cannot affect something which does not belong to you, and your body doesn't belong to you, so a person cannot admit his own guilt in a capital punishment and be... And receive Malkus or Misa for that matter. So getting back over here, with regards to Psulei Eidos, when it comes to capital crimes, that's the whole source of Krovim or Psulei Eidos, that a father can't convict his son of Misa based on his testimony, a son can't convict the father based on his testimony. No one here is a Baal Din. No one here is a real litigant in the classical sense, because Hodos Baal Din, the fact that your admission can obligate you to pay money does not exist with regards to Dinei Nefashos. You know why? You are not the Baal Din. Who's the Baal Din here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who the body belongs to. 1 minute. If there's no Baal Din, how could there be Krovim that are Pasuli Eidos? Must be that Krovim are Pasul in capital cases, not because they're carved to the Baal Din, because they're karov to the Baal Davar. Even though we are not the formal litigant in a capital case, the body belongs to Hashem, and Nefashos Liena. Nonetheless, we are clearly Baal Davar. We are affected by the outcome of this judgment, and therefore our people are karov to the person who's a defendant in a capital case, would also be Pasul Liedos, because Pasul Liedos depends not on Baal Din, but on Baal Davar. Yeah.
If we were to say that, can we go a step further in saying that if the body's not ours, the money that our body owns as an ours.
No. What you do with your body is not up to your discretion. You have to follow the mitzvahs of the Torah. What does that says nothing about a person's physical possessions. Of course, our physical possessions are also given to us, and if we would explore this issue further, that's the whole purpose of the mitzvah of tzedakah, reassigning where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to actually disperse these funds, and that really gets into the heart of what Tzedakah is all about. It's on loan from Hashem, but in a formal sense, it doesn't express itself in halacha that way. My money is my money, and I can do with it as I want. Yeah.
How far removed can one be considered to not be a bal davar? If I just care about the case, would I be then considered?
No, you have to have some stake.
Okay,
or related to someone who has a stake.
Do we have a definition for?
Yeah, it's a whole second paragraph of Masechta Sanhedrin. Who's related? Who's closely enough related to be considered to having a stake? Meaning, let's say the guy is his brother-in-law's sister. You know.
No, not in terms of familial relationships, just in terms of like my personal being involved in the case.
Like rooting aspects?
Yeah,
like rooting, yeah. No, I don't think so. But if you placed a wager on it, which you can do now probably, then you'd be a Baal
Davar. You can buy court cases from people.
I'm sure you... Oh, that for sure you're a Baal
Davar. Yeah.
I'm talking about a line in, you know, Vegas or something. Yeah. You'd probably also be a Baal Davar.
Okay.
I don't know if there are people who do that yet.
I don't know if they do that, but I know you buy court cases. So.
Yeah.
Is that the same terminology of whether or not a judge would be... Like a Dion would be allowed?
Of course, same rules.
Same thing, like a Baal Davar?
Same rule. If he can't be related or related or affected, you know, by the Baal Davar.
So friends.
There are those who are clearly directly related and those who are related to them. But even those who are related to those who are directly related are...
No, like blood, I'm saying. Like, they're very good friends. They would allow to be...
So a similar question. Interesting. Like a rooting interest.
Yeah, like a
I don't know what that means. Kol Yisrael chaverim zel lazeh. Where everyone is our friend. I don't know what you have more friends in.
Yeah,
al pi halacha is no such thing though. Kol Yisrael chaverim, Kol Yisrael chaverim zel lazeh. We're all supposed to be chaverim. No such thing as the best friend in halacha. Every Jew is your best friend. Has to be. Okay. Getting back. Okay, so a psul of a eidos of a karov is related not to the direct, it's not the function of the litigant, it's the function of the Baal Davar. That's perhaps the distinction over here between a Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin and Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara says Masechtas Kiddushin the following rule. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. In order to effectuate marriage, how many witnesses do you need? Ever two. Where do we derive that from? Money. Money matters. Pasuk says, by money issues, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. The matter should be established based on two witnesses. And the pasuk says, davar by money. And the pasuk also says, davar by kiddushin ki matzibu ervas davar. So davar mi mamon, just like arayos, just like mamon requires two witnesses. We learned gzeira shava, davar mi mamon ki matzibu ervas davar. That arayos also depend on marriage, divorce, depend on two witnesses. So Amalei Rav Ashi of Kahana, my daughter, the office, davar, davar mi mamon. How do you need two witnesses by getting the kiddushin? And if, let's say, a couple will get married, beino lebein atzma, the marriage will be nothing with nothing. Totally invalid, no shayla, no dintaira, nothing to discuss. If they're by themselves, there's nothing doing. What if they both admit later? Chas and Kala come to Beis Din and say, we got married, we eloped, on some desert island, no one else was there, but we both agree, maskim, we'll sign, documents that affect that we got married. The marriage is still not valid. Garnish mit garnish. No get, they could, pick up and walk away. Nothing do it. Sigmar asks, well, how could we derive if the whole source of required two witnesses is from Mamon? And by Mamon, Hodos Baldin is Kamea Edim Dami. Hodos Baldin is Kamea Edim Dami. If you admit your own obligation, it's valid. So why don't we have a similar concept with regards to getting Vikidushin? Imalahon, Hodos Baldin, Kamea Edim Dami. Afkan, Hodos Baldin, Kamea Edim Dami. By getting Vikidushin, we should also accept the marriage of both the Chassan and the Kala agree. Or Moda, that they got married. If we're a whole source for two witnesses, it's from Amon Amalei. Hasim lo Kachayev Lachrini, Hacha Kachayev Lachrini. By Mamon, what you do with your own money is up to you. Here, it affects other people. How does it affect other people? Because now, their relatives can't get married either. The Chassan and the Kala. You affected other people. You have no right to affect other people with your Hodah. Okay? So you want to admit giving Kiddushin, you want to admit we got married, we got divorced, and both the chassan and the kala, the husband and wife, agree, either we got married or we got divorced, you can't do such a thing because it affects other people around you. Who? It affects the craven. But where does this concept of chav l'achrini come from? It really comes from Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia in the context of money. And that is that I cannot admit something which might end up costing someone else money. Where does the case come up? It comes up with regards to a Mishnah Bava Metzia over here, always doubt. Have a look over here. Matzah Shtarei Chov. A guy finds a document, an IOU in the street. If it says that if Ploni can't pay, he's going to collect from somebody else, an Arev, you know, a Lokeach, then you cannot return the Shtar Chov. Shebezin Efron Bahen. Bezin's going to collect, and if not from him, from the other party. Ein Ben Achrayis Nechasim. If it's not going to collect from anybody else, Yachzir. Shein Bezin Efron Bahen. Bezin is not going to collect from it. Never return. You find an IOU, a signed document that someone owes someone else money, you never return it. Because Bezin is going to act based on it. But my askina, what's the case? Let's go over to the guy and say, did you borrow such money? Is this your document? And if he says, oh, that's my lease and my house. Thank you so much for returning it. I don't know how it ended up in the street, but okay. He's chayav ma'idah. If he agrees that he's chayav, ki yesh ben achrayis nechasim, amai lo yachzir. Why would you not go and return it? Ha'ma'idah. He agreed. Ve'ika she'ein chayav ma'idah. If he denies that the document is his, or that it was paid already, ki'ein ben achrayis nechasim, amai yachzir. Why would you ever return it? The guy denies that the loan is outstanding. Even though you're not going to go to the properties that he sold or to a guarantor, but you're going to collect from him. Says the Gemara, Li'olam kishachayev moideh. The guy agrees that the document is outstanding and he's chayev. So, 1 second. So, why don't you return it? Even if it has achrayis nechasim, you're going to go to somebody else to collect. The guy admits that the loan is outstanding. They wrote the document in Nisan, but they never issued the loan till Tishrei. So now you're going to go and collect from the kuchos shalom kedin. You're going to collect from the kuchos people who brought properties after Nisan before Tishrei, and the loan hadn't been issued yet. You're going to collect from people that was improper. Vasimitra for kuchos shalom kedin. If people are messing with the dates, yeah. Every document, we have to be afraid that the date got messed up. They predated it. If you predate a document, it's no good. Predating a document is no good. Because you're going to be torn from the kukla. Maybe you sold the property afterwards, but it really happened before the loan was issued. After the date, before the loan. Sigmar says, yeah, but maybe this document's worse because it was found on the ground, so we're going to start worrying about things we wouldn't normally worry about. But no, amalakha abayim masnisan hanutayma. No, the real reason is, the chayesh lepiron or kanunya. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of kanunya. What's kanunya?
Kanunya is azar. I don't mind teaching how to do gneva, but we have to do it, right? Reuven lends money to Shimon. Shimon sells properties to Levi. Okay? This is a loan. This was a sale. He sold properties that presumably took place after the loan was issued, yeah? So the meshuba to the loan. What happens? Shimon paid back Reuben. He got his money back. But they say, you know what? Let's call the loan outstanding. Shimon will say, I don't have any money. Reuben will come and double dip and collect from Levi, and they'll split the profits. Yeah? Yeah? I'm sure it has a name in the world of
con artists, but that's what's going on over here. And halacha we call it kanunya. So let's be afraid that they're going to engage in kanunya. So we cannot return the loan document. If we find this loan document on the street, we cannot return it to Reuven, because maybe Shimon already paid it, and they threw it onto the street. Ooh, look at this document, and they come and collect from Levi, the unknowing target. Yeah, the victim over here. That's kanunya. So therefore, whenever it's chav l'achrini, even though Shimon says, Hodos Baldin Kamehadim Dami Shimon says the loan is valid. Which Hodos Baldin, he says the loan is valid. We're not going to return the shtar to Reuven.
because we're afraid Shimon already paid it. Reuven and Shimon are cahoots, and they're trying to con Levi. So Das Baldin normally obligates to, you know, serves to obligate a person to pay a financial amount that he agrees to, but not if it's Chav Lachrini, if it affects somebody else. Why, if it affects somebody else, don't we say Hadas Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami? Because, yeah, maybe you're trying to con Levi. It's Chayshinan LeKenunya. We're afraid of a con. That's what's going on over here. So the Achrayim asked the following question. One minute. If the only reason that Hadas Baldin, when other people are affected, is not valid, is because we're afraid of a con, why can a husband and a wife admit that they both got married? Who's getting conned here? The Gemara said, whoa, you can't, husband and wife cannot admit that they got married and eloped without the presence of witnesses, because even though Hodas Baldin, Kameya Eidim Dami, here it's Chav Lachrini. Because you affect others. No. The only reason you can't say Hodas Baldin when it's Chav Lachrini is this case. Shimon can't admit that the loan with Reuven is outstanding because we're afraid that he paid already. They're both trying to con Levi. It's because Chayshina L'Knunya. Who here is getting conned when a husband and a wife admit that they got married? Who's getting fleeced? Who's getting stolen from? Nobody. So what's the fear? So how could the Gemara say that a husband and wife can't admit that they both got married because Chav Lachrini? Chav Lachrini is only because Chayshina L'Knunya. We're afraid the two parties are getting up to con some, you know, unknowing, innocent bystander. Well, who are the husband and the wife conning? Yeah, no.
Well, theoretically, if they get married and then they immediately get a get, they're now forcing the super to actually be paid.
And who loses?
Perhaps the fathers are putting up money themselves.
That's a very modern answer. In the olden days, the husband paid his own way. The father wasn't paying anything. You're saying maybe they're trying to con the parents.
Right.
That's a very modern answer. I don't know if I would, lowercase m, I don't know if I would accept that. No. People are paying their own way over here. They're on their own. Old enough to get married, they're old enough to pay their own bills. That's what's going on. So Reb Chaim said a different answer. Reb Chaim explained that what the Gemara means in Maseches Kiddushin is not that Hodas Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami doesn't work when it's Chav Lachrini, and therefore a husband and a wife can't admit that they got married without the presence of Eidim, because it's a limitation on Hodas Baldin when other people are affected. No, who's affected by the Chatzin and Kala getting married? Who stands to lose? No, Reb Chaim said what the Gemara means to say is, when it comes to getting the Kiddushin, it's like Dinei Nefashos. There is no litigants here or official parties. They're creating a marriage, which is a religious concept and construct. There's no Balei Din. There are Balei Dovar. There are affected parties. But you cannot create your own system of marriage that's outside of the confines of traditional systems that are, you know, created by the Torah. You can't create your own kind of marriage. Marriage is either you buy into what the Torah wants or not. So you're not in charge of what's taking place. So since a person is not really the Baal Din here, he's not in charge of this, you know, of his side of the arrangement, the negotiations. So then, he's not a baldin. So he gathers the whole concept of hodas baldin kamei edim dami doesn't apply. That's what the Gemara meant to say. When the Gemara said here it's chav lachrini, it doesn't mean to say it's because it affects other parties. What it means to say is just like by chav lachrini, your hodas baldin kamei edim dami doesn't apply because other people might get tricked, might get conned. Here too, hodas baldin kamei edim dami doesn't apply, but it's for an entirely different reason, said Reb Chaim. Here it's because there is no concept of Balei Din. You might be a Baal Davar, you're an affected party, but there's no concept of a Baal Din. So getting back to our Tosfos, what emerges is that not only the Krovin of Reuven, who's the official Baal Din, you can't say La Baal Varm Nidiyat, he's the official Baal Din, he's the litigant, Shimon is a Baal Davar. And the Krovin of a Baal Davar are also possibly this, as we saw by Dinei Nefashos. The same is true by Gittin V'Kiddushin. Even though you're related to the Chasin and the Kawa, you also possibly this, even though the Chasin and the Kawa are not Balei Din. How do I know? Hodas Baal Din, Kamei Eidim Dami doesn't apply to Gittin V'Kiddushin, doesn't apply to Nefashos. The answer is because you're not a Baal Din, as the Radvaz told us. You're not in charge of anything. You're not in charge of marriage either. You can buy in and evoke a concept that the Torah has, but you can't, you're not in charge of your own, to make your own negotiations and arrangements. So Hodas Baal Din, Kamei Eidim Dami doesn't apply. You're not a Baal Din, but you are a Baal Davar. And psulei eidos depends on who is a baal davar. As we saw from the whole source of psulei eidos, was from dinei nefashos. Well, all you are is a baal davar. So over here, you can be a baal davar even though you're not a baal din. Most people who are a baal din are a baal davar. I hope I'm not confusing you, right? If you're the litigant, you're probably the most affected party, usually. Here, you could be a baal davar, the most affected party, and not the baal din. Who's the litigant? Reuven is the litigant. That's who the original loan was with. Shimon, if Reuven doesn't have money, he's going to go to Shimon to collect. So Shimon is a baal davar. So Shimon is a baal davar and not a baal din. And that's what, but nonetheless, his krovim are possibly eidos. The whole rule of psuliyedus is derived from baal edvarim by dina nefashis. Can you be, Reuven is also a baal davar. Yeah? Levi is also possibly eidos. Why is Reuven a baal davar? Why is Reuven a baal davar? Because even if he doesn't have property, he's going to go to Shimon. Shimon's going to come back to him with achrayas. So Levi is possibly eidos. He stands to lose here. Or he'll come to him with tarumis. Okay, that also affects him. So he's a baal din and a baal davar. Shimon is just a baal davar. He's a baal davar, not a baal din. Can you be a baal din and not a baal davar? You understand, Kaver? Can you be a litigant and not be an affected party? I would have said no. Most litigants are affected parties. However, look over here. There's a Taisus Masechtas Ksubis that makes this strange point. Look over here. Taisus says Masechtas Ksubis, not like our Taisus. Taisus says, Va'oi demasik ika diyamri. Afil shalobach rais nami. Even shalobach rais. Reuven is still in the picture. Why? Because they're going to come with tarumos. One second. Ha'afilu ihu gufe do amin baba basra. Hamokra sada shalobach rais. Let's say I sell a field. Shalobach rais. There's no achrayos. Meaning, I sell a field. Let's just put the case up over here. Reuven sells a field to Shimon. Below Achrayus. What does that mean? That if Reuven has a Baal Kov, and he comes to collect the loan, and Reuven doesn't have it, he's going to go to Shimon. But Shimon cannot go back to Reuven. He cannot go back. Below Achrayus. But what will there be? Tarumis. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says the following strange thing. Hamokai sada shlo b'achrayus, mei lo aleh, I isle ar achrita, deleka lemeimar, lamidu ufnei b'achov avid, v'lo havi pasim yishum tarumis, kol sheken krovim, shlo yipsum yishum tarumis. Rabbi said, can Reuven here testify himself? Can Reuven say that the loan is valid and that allows the Bachov to go and collect from Shimon? Or can Reuven say that the loan is not valid and that will not enable the Bachov to, you know, that will undermine the argument of the Bachov collecting from Shimon? Reuven doesn't have any properties. The Bachov is going to go collect from Shimon. So can Reuven testify in this case? I would have said, no way. No way. He's the original litigant. He's the Baal Din. Yeah, but if he has no properties, who are you collecting from? Shimon. And this case is Shalom Bachrayus. You're never gonna can't go back to Reuven to collect if he ever gets collected from. To ask remuneration for his money back. He can't. He probably bought at a premium with that great risk involved. So Shimon cannot go back to Reuven. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra that Reuven can testify. In this case, American law, this would never fly. But Reuven is the litigant. And he can testify in his own case, which will allow or not allow the Baal Kov to collect from Shimon. How could that be? Says Taisus. Because Shimon cannot go back to Reuven. So Reuven is a Baal Din, but he's not a Baal Davar. He's not affected by it. He is the primary litigant, but he's not affected by the case. So Taisus claims he is Kasher Liedos and his Krovim are Kasher Liedos. Something that is totally counterintuitive. Yeah.
But that doesn't this contradict the
Tosfos in Balakam? It's against our Tosfos. Our Tosfos said that because of the Tarumos, Reuven is possibly Eidos, and his Krovim are Psulim Eidos. Because he is affected. He doesn't want someone coming back to him with complaints. Tosfos and Ksubis feels that complaints is not enough to make you a Baal Davar. Maybe going back to Donnie John's point. Maybe, you know, just the fact that you might have Tainas on me, certainly a rooting interest wouldn't matter. But the fact you might have tainas on me is not substantive enough to call you a baal davar.
It's against Tarsus and Ksubas. Tarsus and Ksubas held it was enough. But what you do see from Tarsus and Baba Kama, but what you do see in Tarsus and Ksubas is you could be a Baal Din and not a Baal Dabar. That's the other half of this equation. Shimon is a Baal Dabar, is affected by it even though he's not the primary litigant. And his Krovim are Psuim, because Psuim depends on Baal Dabar. Reuben is both a Baal Din and a Baal Dabar because Shimon's going to come back to Reuben. So he's the litigant and affected by it. Tarsus and Ksubas disagrees with that. Tarsus and claims that if there's below Achrayus, the Baal Kama is going to go collect from Shimon, even though Reuben is still the primary litigant. He's still the Baal Din. It's Baal Kama v. Reuben. Reuben can testify, because he's not affected by it at all. He's a Baal Din and not a Baal Dabar. These are two separate concepts, is what we're trying to stress. Two separate concepts that are mutually, you know, that can exist mutually, you know, independently of one another. One is a Baal Din, the litigant. One is a Baal Dabar, and the two don't necessarily always have to go together. And Psulei Eidos depends on who is a Baal Dabar, who's affected by what's going on over here. Okay, Chavar, let's just finish the Taisus, and there's one other Nakuda we have to discuss. So Taisus says again, okay, if both the Krivim of Reuben and Shimon are possibly, yeah, because they're both, you know, either a Baal Din or a Baal Dabar, what difference does it make that Reuben is still here a party to this discussion? V'yesh loymar, says Taisus, five lines from the bottom, the nafgamina l'raya achrona. There's an afkamina for Raya Achrona. What is Raya Achrona? Raya Achrona means if you advance a taina and then want to retract. So if you said, for example, I'm now bringing, I don't know if there's a corollary in the American legal system, but I guess you advance, you made closing arguments. So I don't think you could at that point go and resubmit evidence. Maybe there's special circumstances when you can, I don't know. But let's say v'yeshlom enav gemino raya achrona. That's closing arguments. Kagon shamer Shimon ein li edim v'ein li raya. I rest my case. Ula akar zman motzer raya o edim. The Shimon and yakol avim. Shimon can no longer bring the evidence. He rested his case. But Reuven says, I never rested my case. So if Reuven is a litigant here, for Reuven shlo amar ein li edim yakol avim. Reuven can now bring another case and present the new evidence. Okay, that's one nafkamina. Inami, or similar case, kigon shetolen lebezin agodo kazlina. The guy says, you know what, you have the right to do this in halacha. In the American legal system, you're assigned a court and a jurisdiction, but I say, you know, I want to change a venue. In halacha, you can say, forget it, I'm going to the bezin agodo. You can do it, you just have to be, actually go. Inami, kigon shetolen lebezin agodo kazlina. V'shimon lo matzik l'mitrach k'mo Reuven. Reuven can go and Shimon can't go. So Reuven has the right to take the case to the Beis Din HaGadol, even though Shimon can't make the trip. Since Reuven is still a party here, he's a litigant, you can even go to Beis Din HaGadol. Okay, so what are the two differences Taisus finally arrives at? What difference does it make? Well, when Adam is waiting to say, even though this Baal Chov, there's too much going on over here, but even though the Baal Chov is fresh over here, about all these Krovim, you have the Baal Chov, who's actually going to collect the property from Shimon, because Reuben has no money. Reuben here is still about Din. You can't say about Din, about Dover, you can't say that about Barman Diyah, he's still the Baal Din. What difference does it make, says Taisus? Either way, we're going to advance whatever tainus he can advance on his behalf. We're going to say everything he could possibly say. What do we need Reuben here for? Taisus ends up saying, because if Shimon rests his case, Reuben can bring still more evidence. Or if Reuben can say he can make it to the Beis Din HaGadol and Shimon can't go, we can move the case to a different venue based on Reuben's flexibility, even though Shimon doesn't. That's what Taisus says. But let's go back for 1 minute, if we can, to something Taisus said over here. Taisus said all the way at the beginning that what? We would tie on his behalf whatever claims Shimon could advance, Reuven could advance, we're going to advance on behalf of Shimon. That's what's known as taninon. What will we say in his behalf? Parua. The loan was paid. There's no way Shimon could know that. He bought property in some other state. How is he going to know it was paid or the shtar is mezuyof? Never met any of these people before. Okay? We're going to advance those claims on his behalf. That's what Taisa says. And will we advance such a claim on behalf of Yosemim as well? Taisa says, yes, we'll advance such a claim on behalf of Yosemim. But look over here at Taisa and Ksubas. I have a third line of Taisa and Ksubas, Tadi Bezim Abez. Taisa says the following. V'Rebbe Hayim Edakdek. It's not the Rebbe, Rebbe Udon. Now see, this is Tosis. He's quoting a Rebbe. Rebbe Hai Medakdek. The Ibal Chov and Yochol Limso Edom Lekayim Sharo. Vamina de Ruven Yochol Liton Mezuyav Hu. Lefisha Hu Yodea Beberim Hu Mezuyav. Ruven knows. Tosis is asking our very question. Commenting on our very Gemara. Where the Gemara went out of its way to say in this scenario, Reuven is still a Baal Din. So he asked, what difference does it make? Whatever Reuven can say, shouldn't can say. We're going to say on his behalf. So he says, no. Reuven will know if it's forged. Shimon wouldn't know if it's forged. And we are not going to taina that it's forged on behalf of Shimon. Aval Shimon misavik eno yocho litam mezuyafu. As nafkamina tuva. There is a big nafkamina. Reuven can say mezuyaf because he'll know if the star is forged. Shimon will not know if the star is forged, and we're not going to advance that time on his behalf. Az nafkamina tuva, v'cheina yarshim yisafik en yuchol en liton mezuyof hu al star shal tzio al avian. We're not going to advance the time of mezuyof on behalf of the Yisoyman. Af al pish en balchov yachol lekaimo, and even if the balchov can't fulfill the star, it's kosher. Va'alti tama. Don't ask, he says, imkein lo shavak techai lo chol birya. Don't say, well, if that's the case, how could anybody, you know, possibly continue on? People are going to bring shtaras against us all the time, and we're going to have no way of beating it back. Shemin ha-Torah in tzarech shum kiyum, shum shtar kiyum, de'edim ha-chasum ha-shtar, nasa kemi shenekre edus ha-mebez. And the truth of the matter is, you really shouldn't need a kiyum ha-shtar. However, once a shtar is signed, as we saw, you know, yesterday, a shtar is signed, so it's kosher. And the witnesses are not considered to be testifying from an affidavit. It has its own status, since it was written, as we discussed yesterday, Midah Samaskayev. So a shtar is its own status. So really, it should have been valid, you know, independently. Signatures on the shtar are presumed to be kosher. Chazal required that a person be mekayim the shtar. That you validate the shtar by bringing forth the witnesses to admit that they signed this document, or witnesses that this is their signature. If someone presents a taina of mezuyav. So, really though, the shtar is kosher, so Tosa says that really you shouldn't need kiyum ha-shtaris in the first place. We only, even if a person is a gazlan, we assume that his shtar is kosher, because people are not going to want to bring forged documents to court, they'll be nervous to do so. So therefore, Tosa says in the last few lines, Hilkach ki takinu rabbanan kiyum kineged shtar mezuyav hani mili ki omar loveh dekim le begaveh. The only time you require validating a shtar when someone claims it's a forgery is if the guy is actually here arguing it in front of us. Aval yasmi velukuchos kineged taino shoziyav lo hitzrichu chachamim edekiyum. The Chazal never required it. And let's not be afraid, everyone's going to bring false documents to court. What are the likelihood of that? It's unlikely. People are nervous to bring false documents to court. So we have a machlekes. One opinion in Tosis is, Tosis here, that will advance a taina of mezuyav on behalf of Shimon, even though he'd have no way of knowing it's a forgery, we'll say it on his behalf. The other opinion of Tosis Masechta Ksuvos, we will not advance a taina of mezuyav on behalf of Shimon. We're not going to say it on his behalf. What are they arguing about? Will we say mezuyav? Will we not say mezuyav? It could be they're arguing about what is the nature of kiyum shtaros. When Chazal said, you present the check in court, I say, the whole thing is forged. So he said, whoa, someone said it's forged. We have to now check it out. If no one said it's forged, then we don't have to check it out. So the question is, will we advance this on behalf of an unknowing party? Will we automatically demand that you be Mekayim the Shtar on his behalf, you know, that, as if he advanced an argument that it was forged, or will we not? Perhaps that has to do with the requirement that Chazal made to verify forged documents when someone claims that it's a forgery. Did Chazal say that the document is nothing with nothing until it's fulfilled, you know, until it's verified? Or did Chazal say, no, it's a kosher shtar, but there's an obligation to verify it? We'll go over here. Baruch Ber asked this question in the Birkas Shmuel, Ozein, didn't kiyum shtar is the min ha-Torah? And really, a shtar is valid without any verification. You cannot undermine two edim k'sherim without contradictory edim. We shouldn't, that should be enough. That you should, you don't need witnesses to be machshir it. When someone claims it's a forgery, you have to verify what is the nature of that. Do we say it's really nothing? Meaning now it's a garnish. It's nothing. Or do we say, no, it's a valid shtar with a caveat that you verify it? So maybe over here, the two opinions in Taisus are debating what is the nature of a shtar, you know, the tithe of Mezuyov. Does the tithe of Mezuyov totally undermine the shtar? Or is the tithe of Mezuyov just, you know, the shtar is valid, but it's a requirement that you verify it? So maybe that has to do with, will we advance the tithe of Mezuyov on behalf of a party who doesn't know? Maybe until you actually verify the shtar, we assume it's not a shtar at all. Maybe that indicates we should advance such a claim. Or maybe if it's just a requirement in order to satisfy someone who has fears that it's not, that it's a forgery, so then we have to verify it. If it's just to satisfy the fears of those who claim that it's a forgery, maybe that's only if someone actually has those fears, but we wouldn't advance that on our own. So if it's just to satisfy the fears of people who think that it's Mezuyov, maybe you actually has to be someone here who's actually afraid that it's Mezuyov, but if it's really a kosher shtar, we're not going to advance that on behalf of someone who wouldn't know. But if a shtar that's not mekuyam is literally nothing until you actually verify it, so maybe we won't advance the tain of Mezuyov on his behalf. However, perhaps it touches on a bigger issue, which is what's going on in this whole thing over here with Taisus. Taisus said, what difference does it make if Reuven is the litigant or Shimon is the litigant? Whatever Reuven could have said, we're going to say on behalf of Shimon. What is the nature of what we call taninon? We'll advance a claim on your behalf. What is the nature of that halacha? Because there's a big problem with this halacha. What's the problem with this halacha? It's a famous yeshiva shakasha. What's the yeshiva shakasha? Rabbi said, look later on, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara says in Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. That's Kuf Yud Ches. Yeah, Kuf Yud Ches. Where is it? Oh. The Gemara, right in the middle of the page. Itmar. Manali biyarcha. A guy says to his friend that you owe me money. Valoi oimer eini yodea. The guy says, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I have no idea. This happens. Maisim b'chol yom. A guy says, I lent you $5 6 months ago. Really? I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, I have no idea. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amar Chayev. It's Chayev to pay. Why? Bari v'shema, bari alif. One guy's certain, one guy's not sure. The guy who's certain wins. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amar Chayev. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Ami Potter. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amar Chayev. Bari v'shema, bari alif. One is sure, one is uncertain. The one who's sure carries the day. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Ami Potter. Uki memona v'cheskas mare. Leave the money where it is, because we know that he has a claim to, you know, it belongs to him. You want to take something from somebody else, you need to bring proof. Tanan, avam amar eini yodeim he'll be son. So what's the halacha over here? One guy is certain that you owe him money. One guy is saying, I'm not so sure, eini yodeim. So bari v'shem or bari adif. The other opinion is no. You want to take someone else's money, so then you have to bring proof. I'm sorry, but the Gemara continues. Let's continue one more line. Tanan, avam amalo eni odeim he'll be sunny. Potter, a guy says, I don't know if you lent me money. Potter, that's the Mishnah there. Ha'omel chavero gizalticha, you stole from me. He'll be sunny, or you lent me money, I lent you money. If karata etzli ve'eni yodeim hechzarati l'cho. The guy says, I'm sorry. I know I stole. He says, I know I borrowed. I'm not sure if I paid you. Eni yodeim hechzarati l'cho, im lo hechzarati l'cho, chayv l'shalem. He's obligated to pay. The guy says, I know I owed you money. I'm not sure if I paid you, then you're chayv to pay. But if he says, I'm not sure I owed you in the first place, then he's not chayav to pay. That's the general rule. So let's say a guy says, I know I owed you money. I'm not sure I paid you. I'm not sure I didn't pay you. The guy says, so would you be obligated to pay or not obligated to pay? If we're not sure if the chiyuv existed in the first place, someone comes to me and says, you owe me money. I don't, maybe I do, maybe I don't. You don't have to pay. We paskin. I'm motzi mechaver olav araya. Others tell, no, he's certain, you're not certain, he should win. Okay? But we paskin, oh, motzi mechaver olav araya, you want to take my money, you got to prove it. But let's say a guy says, I agree, I once borrowed money from you. I'm not sure if I paid you or not. Ein yodem praiticha. Oh, I stole money from you, I'm not sure I paid you. I borrowed money from you, I'm not sure I paid you. Now what? Now he's chayiv. Now you're chayiv. Why? Because we know he was chayiv at one point, we're just not sure he paid. So then you're chayiv. Let's get back over here. What happened over here? In our case of Taninon. Vachov comes to Reuven. Rabbi said, was there clearly a loan here? Was that ever under dispute, whether there was a loan? No. Everyone agrees there was once a loan from Vachov to Reuven. Now the Vachov comes to collect from Reuven. He doesn't have any money, we're going to go to Shimon. So Taisa says, whatever Reuven could have said, we're going to say on behalf of Shimon, we're going to be Taninon, we'll advance whatever claims he can make. But we know, do we know the loan existed? Yes. Is that for sure? That is Vadai. Loan existed is Vadai. We know it existed. Money was changed hands. Now Shimon's going to come and advance these claims. Parua, I paid you already. He knows he paid? No, we're going to say on his behalf he paid. We know he paid? Or we're not sure if we paid? Maybe you paid. So we call that what? Eini yodea impraiticha. I'm not sure if I paid you. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. What happens in a typical case where we know there was a loan, and then he says parua, we're going to say in his behalf parua. See, if Reuben says parua, he's certain. If we advance a claim on behalf of Shimon of parua, we're saying maybe, maybe, maybe paid. If it's maybe paid, that shouldn't be good enough. Any odeim praiticha is chayiv. That's what we saw. If I'm not sure I borrowed in the first place, it's a potter. But if I'm sure I borrowed, I'm just not sure I paid back. Then you have to pay. So we know a loan took place. We're not sure you paid back. Still, you should have to pay. So what does it help that we said parua on behalf of Shimon? If he's still not sure, he should still be obligated to pay. So the answer to this question is perhaps going to explain why Tosfos had two opinions, whether it was say Mezuyah on behalf of the Shimon, Mitzvah, we'll finish this up tomorrow. Okay, Shkoyim.